these past 2 weeks, and I'm sure the Lord has spoken to your heart, has spoken to my heart, very real in a very definite way. And I believe in a response coming from each of our lives, the Lord Himself. Now, we've been looking, haven't we, at the 14th chapter of the Gospel by John. Let's go back to this, shall we? You know, I call this the Cozy Corner chapter, and I trust it's proved that to be to you during the days we've been together. John chapter 14. And remember, in verse number 1 we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You're believing in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also." Now, we've been looking at 5 new things. First of all, a new revelation in verse number 3. It says there, "If I go, I will come again." Now, I told you that there are 318 references to the coming of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament alone. And His coming is as certain as the dawn. I'm waiting for the resurrection morn. He's gone away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And it may be this very day, listening sky shall hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And I know your heart with my heart is saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come today. Even so come, Lord Jesus, catch up thy bride away." Now listen to this. "Oh, how my heart is yearning, longing for thy returning. Even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today." I trust all hearts are yearning and longing for the Lord to come again, standing on the tips of expectancy, expecting Him to come back at any moment. Now, went down to verse number 6. I mean, Lord Jesus says there, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in that verse, we got 2 new things. We got a new road and a new relationship unto the Father. I trust all of us are walking along the King's highway, that new and living way, that blood open way, for that way open was opened up on the ground of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We sometimes sing, "On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works, or opinions if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. The soul-cleansing blood of the Savior, I've been washed in the crimson flood. And there's no other way to heaven apart from the blood sprinkled away. This new and living way opened up on the ground of the shed blood of Jesus Christ." Then again, I enter a new relationship. And we dealt with this a little bit last Lord's Day. We have here now a new relationship. We're now children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Some people think all mankind, all of Adam's race, are children of God, but that is not true. God is the creator of all mankind. He's the Father only of those who believe on His Son. Chapter and verse? Yes. Galatians 3, verse 26. "Now are ye the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And it says in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Lord Jesus said, "I came unto His own, and His own received not, but to as many as received Him, not it, not a code, not a creed, not a catechism, not a church membership. This man received him, then gave him power, the legal right to become, and same were not, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And remember, to believe on him is to receive him by faith into the heart. Now, oh, the joy is your joy, mine, to be children of God and know it. The sense certainty in our own heart, we are children of the living God. What honor is ours? I said the other night, what dignity, what distinction, what a destiny, and what a duty we have because we are the children of God. And remember, it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God, and such we are. And such we are. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You know, when he shall come, we shall be like him. We shall be well worth looking at then, won't we? We're going to be like him, the altogether lovely one, the one who is the fairest of the fair. And I want to go a little farther this morning, down to verse number 16. Verse number 16 of John chapter 14. I told you 11 and 7 I wills in this wonderful chapter. Time would allow us this time to deal with the 7 I wills, but a very, very precious indeed. Search them up for yourself, underline them, and learn the truth contained within the context of the I will. Verse number 16 then. The Lord Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, not another of another kind, but another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. You go into a store, and you buy something, you see, and you don't like it very much, so you take it back, so you want another, you see, another kind. But, you go in the store, you buy, and you like that, so you go there, I want another of the same kind. And here is another of the same kind. When the Lord was here and there, he was a comforter, and he was with them, a constant companion, and now he's going away. I will send another comforter, that he may be with you, notice now, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, that the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. But he shall be with you, he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Now here is your fourth R, it's a new resident. He's come to reside where? In your heart and in my heart. Now the Bible's crystal clear about this. Say the Romans 8, verse number 9, if ye have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Striking statement that, isn't it? If ye have not the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. And on each he setteth his own secret sign, they that have my Spirit, these said he, are mine. And unless you receive the Spirit of Christ in you, you're not a child of God. Now I want you to keep your finger there, but turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Looking at this morning, I was very struck with it, and I want to share it with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Now, just for the sake of the connection now, look at verse number 3. Now, it's Paul that's speaking, inspired by the Spirit. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking where? In me. Which to you, word, is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward us. Now here's the verse. Examine yourselves. whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not yourselves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Oh, do I know this? That Jesus Christ by His Spirit lives in me, except to be reprobate. And reprobate means void of judgment. Void of judgment. Am I crystal clear? Am I sure? Have I the witness in my own heart that Christ by His Spirit literally lives in me? The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, notice it please, over the page, Galatians 2 verse number 20, this is my favorite verse. I love it because I know the joy of it experientially in my own life. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth. Where does He live? He liveth in me. In me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. No longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. Now chapter 4 of the same epistle, and verse number 6, bearing with the fact that we have one residing in us who is the Spirit of the living God. Now, verse number 6. Because ye are sons or children of God, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Is that clear? God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. The very moment I believed on the Lord Jesus, that He died upon the cross to bear the penalty against my sin, and rose again from the dead, triumphant over sin and death and hell, and I owned Him my Lord and Savior, and thanked Him for dying for me, and received Him by faith into my heart. By that very moment, Christ by Spirit came into my heart. And now it says here, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son, where? Into your heart, the heart of the believer. You see, isn't that a wonderful truth? The Spirit of Christ indwells you, and the Spirit within says, Abba, my own dear Father. That's a tremendous truth. It's exciting. It's thrilling. We will say, oh, what a salvation is this, that Christ liveth, He liveth in me. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives where? Tell me. Within my heart. And what a wonderful change in my heart has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Your heart too? Oh, I pray God that's true. Right, children. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 19. Very well known verse. Verse is very precious to my own heart. Now these words. What? Know ye not? Don't you know? Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Which of God? And you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Ye are not your own. What price? Not silver, nor gold, by the precious blood of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 18 and 19, purchased with the blood of Christ. The late Dr. A.T. Pearson said many years ago, the heart of the Bible is the heart of messianic prophecy. The heart of messianic prophecy is the person of Jesus Christ. The heart of the revelation of his person is redemption by blood. Redemption by blood. Now, may I quote that verse again? What know ye not? Don't you know? Don't realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. Now I am repeating this purposely, because I want this to come by divine revelation to each of our hearts, that you realize experientially, not just in theory, not in a doctrine, not in a verse of scripture, but in your own heart of hearts, that the Holy Spirit has come to reside. He resides in you. He resides in me. And notice, not only does he want to reside, he wants to preside. Not only to indwell, he wants to infill and control our lives day by day. Right over then, back to John chapter 14. 14. Now may I read again verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth, who is he? The Comforter, is come to abide with us forever. Underline that. Tell him you believe it and thank him for that glorious fact. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he comes in forever. So we can never, you'll never be lost. We'll never fall away and be lost. So that moment I trusted Lord Jesus, only my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came in, and he came in for how long? Forever. Forever. But for verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Now may I pause here, ask the question, do we individually know the Holy Spirit? We talk a great deal about God the Father and the Son, but do we really know experientially, reality, the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart and in my heart? There's the real life becomes, you know. Real life begins here when the Spirit, my friend, enters in. And just as he did in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 9, as he hovered over the creation, said, let there be light. And there was light. So he broods over your heart and my heart, and you say, Lord, I believe. And as verse said, let there be light. And he enters in, and there's life in your heart. Not religion. Oh no. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. I'm not presenting a religion, nor a code, nor a church membership. I'm presenting a living Lord. One who became dead, who is alive forevermore. And you believe on the Lord Jesus, and you receive him into your heart. And again, I repeat, he comes in by his Spirit into your spirit life. And my friend, you know the joy being born by God's Spirit into God's family. And you say, I am a child of God. Now, verse number 26. Verse number 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now notice here, he shall teach you all things. I bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Now that is the Gospels. That is the Gospels. Go back over it. The Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Notice, whatsoever I said unto you. Do I want to know what Christ looks like? I go through the Gospels. Do I know what he taught? I go through the Gospels. And there it is, at very present. Now, slip please over to chapter 16. On the way there, look at verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now verse number 7 of chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Got the Spirit of truth now, you see. So nevertheless, I tell you the truth, said the Lord Jesus. It is expedient, it's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now he explains what all that means. Verse 9, of sin, because they believe not on me. Now please remember, that's the only sin that will keep you out of heaven. The sin of unbelief. The sin of rejecting Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And it says in John 3, verse number 18, ye are condemned already because you believe not. Believe what? Believe that the Lord Jesus died upon that cross to bear the penalty against your sin personally, and rise again from the dead for you personally. And you say, Lord, I trust thee, and I receive thee. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and you believe on him. You receive him in your heart, and you become a child of God. You sang a moment ago, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know when he comes in really to stay, doesn't he? Eh? Oh, I trust you prayed that prayer. Come into my heart. You see, the Lord is a perfect gentleman. He'll never thrust himself over the threshold of anyone's will. If any man will open the door, I will come in. I'm quoting Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Now, all of you who have done this, and you know, just quietly pray. Or maybe someone sitting near you has never yet done that. And ask the Lord who shall work upon them, and they too will open their heart today. Today, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be far too late. By tomorrow, the Lord may have come and taken his bride away to be forever with him. Now, again, verse number 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prisoner's world is judged, and I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now verse 13 is a verse really in my mind. Howbeit, and notice there's eight little personal pronouns here, the little word he. See, it's eight of them. See, the Holy Spirit is a divine person. He's not merely an influence, nor a power. He's a person. Oh yes, he's co-eternal and co-equal with God the Father and God the Son in perfection and in power. He is a divine person. That's what it says here. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, by the way, that's the epistles. That's the epistles. I quote a verse from John 14, 29, verse 26. That is the gospel. But here now is the epistles. He'll guide you into all truth. Little farmer, same verse. And whatsoever shall hear, whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Notice this now. And he will show you things to come. And that's the revelation. That's the revelation. Things that I've spoken unto you, yes, that's the gospel. He'll guide you in all truth. That's the epistle. And then show you things to come. And that's the revelation. Isn't that beautiful? That's what Spirit God does. Leads it in through the Holy Scripture. And verse number 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, eight things, the reference to the he, the capital H, and then come down and see seven things that he does. Seven things that he does as a divine person. Now listen now. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he comes. He will guide you in all truth, he guides. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, he hears. That shall he speak, he speaks. He will show you things to come, he shows. He will glorify me, he glorifies, and he shall receive of mine. Yet he receives. Now, isn't that lovely? My friend, the first of true line coming, he, eight times, and then the seven beautiful thoughts, yet seven things, the Holy Spirit is proving that he really is a divine person. Now, notice what it says here in verse number 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now the Holy Spirit is come, and dwells each and every believer, that he might glorify Christ, exalt Christ, extol him, and make him very, very high. He shall not speak of himself. He shall not speak up for himself. He shall glorify me. Now he has already done that. Oh yes. But before I go on to this, may I come back to my very important question? Do we each one here this morning know Christ by Spirit living in your heart, in my heart? Are you a child of God? Oh, you say, I've been christened, or I've been confirmed, I've been baptized by immersion, I'm a communicant, I'm a church member, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder. I'm not asking you about these, valuable though they may be. I'm asking you, have you received Christ in your heart? But all religious observances and ordinances will never make us a Christian. A Christian one with Christ living on the inside. Christ living on the inside. Christ in you. Christ in you. Oh, I can say, it's Christ in me. The hope of glory. What a wonderful joy that is. Now, I'm stressing that because it's very, very important. Now, notice. Three things the Holy Spirit does. First of all, he has written a book about the Lord Jesus. Here it is. A book about him. This Bible, right from Genesis right to Revelation, he is the one who inspires the whole book, and there's one theme and one sub is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, he wrote the book. May I draw your attention to this? In the Old Testament, you got the book in preparation. In the New Testament, you got the book in presentation. I think they say presentation here, don't they? When they say it across in the crusade, it's presentation or presentation, eh? You got, first of all, the preparation, And then the presentation, and then you got something more. In the Acts of the Apostles, you got the proclamation. The proclamation. In the epistles, you got the personification. But in the Revelation, you got there, and I very lovely thought, predenomination. He is predominant. May I go back to this step five, those sweet peas, very precious. First of all, you got the preparation in the Old Testament, the presentation in the New Testament, and then you got the proclamation in the Acts, the personification in the epistles, and a predomination in the Revelation. Now, I think it's tremendous. I did all, the whole theme, Christ is the key to all Scripture. I said this morning in the earlier meeting, he opened to them in all the Scripture things concerning himself. Christ is the key to all Scripture, and the Holy Spirit inspires the whole of the Word of God. Now, something more. Not only is there written a book about the Lord Jesus, he is bringing a bride home for the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, I like that. A bride for the Lord. That's why he saved you. That's why he saved me. My friend, he wooed us and won us, and he's brought us to the Lord Jesus. Remember this beautiful story in Genesis chapter 24, that Abraham says to Eliezer, his chief servant, to go into the land, back to Laban, and find a wife, a bride, for his son Isaac. Not a very easy thing to do, is it? To figure another woman for another man. But anyway, Eliezer goes on. Abraham is a picture of the Father God. Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus, the Son. And Eliezer's servant is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So he's carrying on this very same ministry today. He's bringing home a bride for the Son. And remember how Eliezer goes all that long way over that desert. And remember, he prayed to God, said, let the woman, my friend, and he comes up to draw water, something unusual, by the way, the men usually did there. But here, this woman came out, her name's Rebecca, and remember, eh? And what happened? I love this, don't you? He came up, and he said, he asked for a drink of water. He said, not only you, but also your camels. And he said, this is the woman. Cutting my long story short, he goes back in the house of Laban, and he asks him to eat. He said, no, I will not take anything to eat until I have given my message. I wish some preachers would be like that too, eh? There it is. I won't eat until I delivered my message. There's a true servant. He got a message, and he comes to deliver that message. And there he stands there to deliver the message, and then the question is asked of Ruth. So you got a golden opportunity. You got freedom of will. Wilt thou go with this man? Now the answer, I will go. She had never seen the man, never met the man, she only heard the testimony of the servant. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I wish I could present Christ like that to you this morning. I really do. Oh, I wish I could so exalt him, like story. When I ask you the question, oh, you're receiving this morning, as you look, Jim, I'll do it right now. And when the question asked, my dear Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. I will go. Now, again, I repeat, she had never seen him. She had never heard of him. But my friend, the testimony of the servant is so real and so vital and so strong and so authentic. Oh, she knew the reality in this. I will go. And going all those hundreds upon hundreds of miles over the desert, not in a lovely Cadillac. Oh, no. Not in a lovely automobile. Oh, no. Not even a Ford. Oh, no. But on a camel's back. On a camel's back. Have you ever ridden a camel's back? I have. My, I knew I got kidneys and liver when my dad got off the journey. Oh, yeah. Up. There it is. And oh, there might have been all that long journey. I will go. By the way, do you remember that lovely chorus, the best chorus in the world? Do you believe he is precious? From having not seen, we love. We have never seen him, but we love him. Is that true? Rebecca never seen him. Seen Isaac. Never seen him. But she believed the testimony of the servant. And I am his servant. I'm testifying concerning the Lord. I want you to fall in love with him this morning. I want you to trust him. Your life entirely to him. Because isn't he worthy? He is. Whom have you not seen me love? Though we see him not, yet rejoice with joy and joy and full of glory. Because you believe he is precious, and having not seen me love. And so they set up. There is now the servant, and Rebecca, and all the servants are going along together, and my friend Isaac goes up and meditates in the evening time. Evening time speaks for grace. At midnight always speaks for judgment. But evening time he goes out in grace, goes out in the field to meditate, and lo, the camels are coming, oh, the camels are coming, oh. Oh, it's not camels, it's Campbells, isn't it, eh? I'm just teasing you. But there it is. Oh, the camels are coming. And then she says, who is that man? Who is that man? That's him. That's the man you're going to marry. Oh, the thrill and the joy in her heart. And she gets off her camel and she veils her face. Oh, there's real authority there. Real reverence there. She veils her face. And my friend, he takes her into his mother's tent. And my friend, she's comforted. And he loves her. And she loves him. And oh, that wonderful wedding day. Rebecca and Isaac are married. She had never seen him. And yet she loved him. He had never seen her, yet he loved her. And yet, beloved, this morning we too. The Holy Spirit is doing that. He's wooing one here and one there. And he's bringing the contact with the lovely Lord Jesus. And one day long, the veil shall be removed. And we shall see him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? All the joy, all the rapture of being with him and seeing him and being united to him for all eternity in the holy state of matrimony. See, you've given your mind, friend, you've given your decision here. You said, I will to Christ here, right here and now. And he said, I will never reject you. I'll never cast you away. I'll never let you down. And my friend, that eternal union is for all eternity, as you know. Now come back to the point here. What joy that will be to the Father God when remember the Lord Jesus says, Father, I and the children you've given me are all here, Father. They're all here. Father, aren't they lovely? Father, aren't they beautiful? You see, we'll all be conformed to his image. We'll all have his nature, light, and love. And we shall be like him. And every true act, oh, Father, aren't they lovely? The Father's joy, the Son's joy, and oh, the joy of the Holy Spirit, who wooed us and won us. What joy will it be when he brought us the Lord Jesus? What joy will be your joy and my joy? God, he and I in that bright glory, one deep joy to share, mine to be forever with him, his, that I am there. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of Grace, not the crown together, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Oh, the joy be our joy, his joy, the Father's joy, the court angel ring with glory and triumph. And the bride is gathered home, and the great marriage supper. Oh, I better not stop just trying to describe that. It's beyond all human imagination. Describe the wonder and the joy and the thrill of the great marriage supper that when the bride is there with him. I've got to close now, but I want to ask you the questions, Michael. Are you going to be there? Oh, I hope so. You better know so. You better know hoping. You ought to know, Paul, I know whom I believe. Just I know my Redeemer. I know I passed from death to life. I know once I was blind, and now I can see. As I know so, I come back to my question tenderly, thoughtfully, and prayerfully. Will you be there?
I'll be honest. If you never received Christ by His Spirit into your heart, believing He died for you upon the cross at Calvary, to bear the penalty against your sin as if you're the only sinner in the world, say, Lord Jesus, I do trust Thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless, Thou canst make me whole. Thou hast died for sinners, therefore, Lord, for me. Or it may be, just as I am without one plea, that Thy blood was shed for me, that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And remember again, the Holy Spirit is residing in you. I repeat, when my all I'd ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. But now His joy is, and longs to do, that He might fill the whole man. We'll deal a little bit with that tonight in the gospel. And please do come back, encourage others to come along with you in a prayerful, believing attitude. Now we're going to have a little word of prayer, and we're going to sing a little chorus, and as a prayer from your heart to my heart. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Here it is. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Sing it as a prayer. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ fill me always, living in me. Once more is a closing prayer, your heart and my heart. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit. Fill with Thy Spirit. Till all shall see Christ fill me always. Jesus Christ, our Lord, to me glory both now and forevermore. Amen.